Matthew 6. Here we go. I was just thinking about a lot of different things this week, and led me to the same to look at the same truth today, and that has to do with, there's a great psalm in Psalm, I think it's 69 or 65 somewhere, where David is praying and he's talking about his enemies being all around, and in the middle of all that he says that despite all that, God, you know, and he knows, when I look to you, I know that you are for me. That's what he says. He goes, I know that God is for me. That's what he says. And I was thinking about that. You know, God is for us. He's for you. So I thought I'd title this, God is for you. And then I got to thinking about serving God and, you know, how can I better serve God? Or how can I serve God more? Or all the, you know, things we tend to think about over the years. And I said, well, let's take a look at some of the things that God asks us to do in the Word. And then I looked at that, and it's interesting. We'll start in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 33, it says, but seek ye first. And, you know, we know the record of the first part of Matthew 6, all the things that people look to seek. And despite all that, God's conclusion of the matter is that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, let's just read verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So instead of all that, God says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Right. So God asks us, the more I looked at things in God's Word about the things that he asks us to do, it became pretty obvious that the only reason he asks us to do anything is to bless us. Right? You know, you keep thinking, well, I'm going to really serve God. I'm going to do something. And sometimes when we do the things of God, we think, well, I'm really, you know, this is great. Won't this be great for him? And then I think about all the things he asks us to do, and they're all to bless us. So he says, seek me first. So what does that do for him? Well, actually, what he says in here is what it does for us, right? He says, seek ye first. Okay, then you know you can get into all this quandary in your life. Oh, man, I'm really going to seek him. I'm going to do this for him. And then you realize the Word says when I do that, I get blessed. So God's desire for me to serve him is so that I get blessed. It's like, okay. So then I got to thinking, well, why wouldn't I want to put him first then? Right? You see how God works. God is so loving. He's so kind. He says, you know, seek me. Seek my righteousness. And guess what happens? All these things get added on to me. Not to God. Right? For me, you know, it's kind of a, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's one of those things where, you know, the best freedom is in slavery, right? It's the opposite of what you would think. Here we are doing something. I'm really doing something for him. And I turn around and say, whoops, I got blessed. Right? And the more I looked at things, and we're going to look at a couple more things God asked us to do. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Paradox, that's the word. Thank you, Anish. That's the exact word that I couldn't think of. Joshua. Then it becomes a little bit embarrassing, right? Because then, when I don't do the things that God's Word asks me to do, who am I hurting? Me, right? You know, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man stand be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Sounds just like manifestations. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left. Right. So God says to Joshua, look, all these wonderful promises for you, right? But what I want you to do, Joshua, you know, you can almost think, okay, Joshua could have said, well, that's great. Here, I get to do something for God. I'm going to really do something for him that he wants me to do. And God tells him, just do the word that I gave to Moses. You stick to that word. You can just, oh, great, I know exactly what to do. But look at the rest of the verse. What does it say? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You know, here's God saying, this is what I want you to do for me, Joshua. Okay, I'll do that for you, God. Yeah, and the end result, Joshua would prosper everywhere that he went. Right. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Right? Wow, great, great things given to Joshua to do. You know, I can think, I can sit up nights, I can have late night tea and coffee and spend hours thinking about God's word, meditating and all this, because that's what he asked me to do. Why? For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Right? Thou, why wouldn't I want to meditate? Why wouldn't Joshua want to put the word into his heart? Why wouldn't I want to read my Bible every day? Why wouldn't I want to do that? Because the Bible, God says, then you're going to be prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. So then the other way to look at it is, well, if I don't want good success, if I don't want to be prosperous, I should neglect God's word in my life. Right? Yeah. Isn't that the other side of the story, right? But that's what happens, right? And the point is, and God's doing it all for whose benefit, right? You and me. Right? Look at Proverbs chapter 3. This is pretty simple, right? I mean, it's a very simple. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. God starts off with verse 1, don't forget the word, but let your heart. That means you really, it's not just the top of your mind. You think about it, you study it, you let it sink to your heart, right? And so God gives us something to do, right? He says, just forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. So I can say, great, I can serve God now. I know exactly the thing, the action to take. Why? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Okay. Do I want length of days? Do I want long life, peace, or don't I? Right. And this is what God tells me to do for him. Right. He says, my son, don't forget my law. Right. And you send your kids out to universities and schools. Say, you know, just remember what you were taught. And just remember the word. Remember God. Always serve him. Right. Why are you telling them that? So that in the end, that something, what's the end result? Is it for you or for them? It's for them. Why? Because then they're going to be blessed. They're going to, you know, provided you taught them the right stuff, right? If you didn't, don't say that, right? But, you know, if you are teaching them God's word, and you tell them, when you leave here, when you go out on your own, whatever you do, don't you forsake the truth of Scripture, right? Why? Because you know that they'll be blessed. Right, that's what God says to her. Look at verse 4:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. What a great image, right? Writing mercy and truth on the table of your heart. Why? So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. fear the Lord and depart from evil. God says a lot of great, wonderful things there, doesn't he? Right? Trust me. Don't always you try to figure everything out on your own, right? Don't rely on your own understanding of things, right? You know, and we've been listening to, Nathan, I've been listening to some teachings lately, and you know, a lot of times where you see the men were in situations where their own understanding would have taken them right down the wrong way, right? Yet God knew exactly what was going on, right? There's records where we read Elijah and Elisha and all these men. God knew exactly what was going on, but they didn't until God told them, right? If they'd relied on their own understanding, you know, they would have gone in the wrong way. And he says, trust and trust me. In all thy ways, acknowledge me. You know, wherever we go, whatever we do, I don't care what it is we're doing, right? This is not religianity or churchianity here. We know that, right? God is our Father all the time. So whatever we do, we represent Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, you know, he is with us. End result, verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Right? Okay, do you want health? Blessing? Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. There's God, isn't that something God is asking us to do? Right? He's saying, well, I want you to honor me. Why? Because verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Right? Look at Malachi chapter 3. We'll look at that a little further. The last book of the Old Testament, or the Old Testament as it's presented in our Bibles. Malachi chapter 3. See, the things God asks us to do are pretty simple. And then, you know, in the end result, we're thinking, here we are, this is great, we're really serving him. And you just keep looking at it, and in the end, you get incredibly blessed. Right? In Malachi 3:6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. There's a promise. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. So God is telling them, I just want you to keep my ordinance. And he's saying, but you haven't kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? And they were so messed up at this point, they didn't even know that they had walked away from his ordinances. Right? And God says, you have. And God says, return to me. And this specifically, what does he say here? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed thee? God says, you know, you've turned away from my ordinances. No, we haven't. You've robbed me. They said, no, we haven't. Right? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now I got to ask you, does God need tithes and offerings? No, he doesn't. Does God go to Max Milk and buy a quart of milk, you know, with my tithe or your tithe offering? No, he does not. But God says here, he says, you have robbed me. It was due him. Let's keep reading. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. He says, meat in mine house. What were the tithes used for? They were to feed the Levites, right? The guys who were in charge of the temple. Right? So God is saying, I want you to tithe, I want you to have offerings. Not just tithes and offerings, he says to them. Right? And let's keep reading here. Let me meet in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Right? God says that they had robbed him in tithes and offerings. But he said, if you'll tithe, guess who gets blessed when you tithe? Right? And the funny thing is, the immediate blessing of the tithe was who? The people. The Levites, right? That's the first part of the blessing. But yet he calls it, God said it was mine house, the temple. It was his house. Yet the blessing of the tithe was for those people who were working there, wasn't it? Isn't that where the money went? Right? Right? And then the end result, he goes, the end result of them was secondary, which is even bigger. He was going to open the windows of heaven. Right? And yet, the whole thing started with them thinking, I'm really doing God a service here, right? Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Right? You know, I mean, okay, you got to ask the question from the other point of view. Do I want to be called blessed? Do I want to be a delightsome land? Do I want the devourer rebuked? Do I want to see the windows of heaven open in my life? Or not, don't I? Right? It's my choice. Apparently, God has given me the choice. Right? You see, everything that we do, God asks us to do, so far that we looked at, who does it bless? Right? Us. All of it. Right? Now, what does God get out of all this? You know, and you know, there are things that God gets out of it. One thing is our fellowship. Right? He made the world for man. Right? In the Old Testament, he said the Lord's portion is his people. He gets his people. That's it, right? He gets you and me. He gets fellowship with you and me. And that's God's blessing in this, right? And the rest, with everything we've read, is for who? You and me, right? If I want to read God's word, if I want to tithe and have offerings, if I want to put him first, if I want to acknowledge him in my life, all of it. Like, you got to, and I'm sitting back thinking, well, why wouldn't I want to do any of those things? Like, what would stop me? And the end result is you're serving him, and guess who who's getting more blessed than anybody? It's you and me, right? Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know, money's a big deal. It really is. Like, I mean, I think we all understand that, right? It's a huge deal. But why did God set it up that way? I don't know. Ask him, right? That's what the word says. Now, either I can choose to believe the word of God or not. It's up to me, right? It's up to you. It's up to each one of us. And I can say, well, I don't like that part of trusting God. I don't like that part of, you know, acknowledging him in all my ways. I don't like that part of tithing. I don't like, we can all choose that. All these things designed not for God's benefit, but for mine and yours. Right? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God is asking us to do something again. Right? All these works God keeps asking us to do. Right? They're just so tedious and burdensome to my life. Because I don't really want the devourer rebuked. I don't really want to be blessed. I don't want to be called lightsome. You know, that's the logic, isn't it? Right. He says to pray. No, I'd rather be anxious. So if I choose to want to stay anxious and fearful, then I don't want to pray. I won't pray. Right. But if I don't want to have anxiety, and I want verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, then I should probably pray. Right. 1 Corinthians 14. It's up to me. That's an amazing thing God has chosen to do. But you know, I was thinking that I started it off by thinking of that great verse in Psalm. He says, God is for you. You see how God is for you? Everything he does is for you. All of it. Right? It's incredible. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. He that speaketh in a tongue, we're talking about prayer a little bit. He that speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. Oh, but it's such a burden to speak in tongues. It's such a burden. Like, why do I have to speak in tongues? Why must I sit down and force myself to sit there and speak in tongues for a while? Well, you got to ask the question. Do you want to get built up or not? No. Okay, well then don't do it. But if you want the blessing God has designed tongues to do in our lives, which is to build us up, to speak the wonderful works of God, to be at rest and peaceful, you know, to see God bigger, you know, it says magnify God in your life, all those wonderful blessings, then we speak in tongues. Right? And the end result is all the things God's word promises. Right? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy. It's the word that's true. I mean, in the end, every man and woman must come up against what the word of God says and recognize, well, are those words, black, white, red sometimes, black, white, are they the truth, right, or not? Are they or not, right? We all come up against that every day. Am I going to choose to believe that word. You know, sometimes you sit there and you read it again and again and again. Is that what it's really saying? Is that what it's really saying? Right. You know, outside that, you don't have anything else, right? If you know the Lord, you don't need anybody else, right? Remember, we don't have anything else outside this. Right? Everything else is personal opinion, experience, tradition, lies, steal, kill, and destroy section. This is the truth. If I don't come back to this, I haven't got a hope, right? 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, again, we're talking about prayer, supplications, God, again, you know, he's just burdening me with so much stuff. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, right? How dare he give me the option to live that way? Do you want to live peaceable life, quiet, godliness, or not? What does the word say? We ought to pray. You know, when we, you know, I've been involved in many discussions, to my shame, right, about politics, right, at work, or, you know, you get into this heated discussion. You know, so-and-so. And the end result, it doesn't matter. Does it say there to pray for those who are in authority when they are liberals? Or does it say when they're conservatives? Or does it say when they're NDP or Republican or Democrats? Does it say that? No. What does it say? Pray. That's a lot easier, right? It says to pray. All those, doesn't matter who they are. The end result is that God wants you blessed. And that is you can live quietly and peaceably in all honesty, right? That's what he says. So you see, God is for you. He's for us. He's for you. He wants you blessed, right? We'll close in Psalm 103. Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. That's what it says. Now, either I believe that, or I can say, well, you know, maybe the easy ones. What does it say? All. Who forgives all thy iniquities. Doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, but, you know, you don't know the sins that I get into, right? Well, it says, what is it? Does it say all? It says all. Who forgives all that. This is before the work of Christ. Remember that, right? It's been raised much higher than what this psalm is saying. This is pretty good, though, right? Still pretty good in here. Psalm 103:3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Is God for you or not? He's for you. He does all these. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. That means that he explained to Moses why he was doing what he was doing, but the children of Israel just saw the results of what happened. That's why, because he was very close to Moses. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him or reverence him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Look at these great blessings in here. Great blessings. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. That's what life is. It's a little bit of a whisper in time, right? That's what it is. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. All that, all those great blessings, verse 18, to such as keep his covenant. and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You see, well, why would I want to do God's word? We just read some 18 or 17 wonderful verses of all the great blessings that God gives to his people, to those who walk on his word. If I choose to say, to heck with you, God, I don't care what your word says, I don't want to do any of it, well, don't expect verse 1 through 17 to come to pass. Don't, right? Because we've just cast aside the very simple thing he asked us to do, was honor him and just keep his word, right? 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What a great psalm, right? You know, and all these wonderful blessings that result in us just honoring him and keeping his word, right? He says, you want peace? Pray. You have anxiety in your life? Just pray to me. It'll be taken care of. You're having problems with the devourer? Tithe. Offerings. And the New Testament puts no limit on it. It says God loves a cheerful giver. Right? Know what it says? Abundantly, the more you give, the more you receive, is what it says in the New Testament. Right? You want to be called blessed, a delightsome land, and see the windows of heaven open in life? What does it say? Well, God gives us certain instructions, very simple, all designed to bless you and me. All of them. Right? Everything that we read was designed to bless you. Now I can make the decision, well, if I don't want the blessings, I specifically know what not to do. Right? You can look at it that way, or I can say, well, gosh, read God's word, reverence him, you know, give abundantly, pray, simple things, and that's how you serve God, and the end of the result of serving God is you get incredibly blessed in life. Wow. God is for you. God is for us. He's on our side, right? And, you know, that's that.